It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your boy LA, and Mona, she's in a meditative state right now. but she says, as always, she's trying to look like Christ, which is profound. So how are you, sister? It's been way too long.
I'm really well. I can't complain. I really can't complain. I'm doing really well. How about you?
You're the man
of the hour, so
negative. I had all this stuff planned, and we're gonna throw jabs at each other, get hyped up, and this. Hi, how are you? Has it been that long? I know we had Mr. Finance on, but we really didn't get to like do what we normally do, you know, because. And we were talking about something very important, but we didn't really get to, you know, do the back and forth thing. But it always leads to words of inspiration, something that I think our listeners can chew on, right?
What is it that we do?
Here we go.
I think it's a valid question.
Mm-hmm. I think we leave our listeners with words of encouragement, thinking that things they can chew on, something that's spiritually sound. And we don't deviate from the word. And so, yeah. So get it together, Mom, basically is what I'm saying.
Well, I want to know why that's so vital.
Yeah. Why is what so vital?
What we do when you say we're leaving a spiritual impression for our listeners. So why is that so vital? I'm asking you, why is that so vital?
Well, if we follow what have we been called to do, right? Spread the news, spread the ministry, and talk about the good news of Jesus and his salvation. So we do it in a, for lack of better words, an unconventional way, but it's still effective and still impactful. So before anything else, and we may sprinkle a little humor on it, you know, a little back and forth, and then sometimes some information that's not always spiritually based, but anyway, I think we're in the right direction. We do what we're supposed to do. Did that answer your question without you saying give me three reasons and all that stuff?
No, I never said three reasons. That's what I'm saying.
Without you saying that, I'm well, yeah.
Oh, good. I've trained you well. I've trained you.
Oh, you trained me.
Yeah, I don't even have to ask you anymore because you already know. Even when I ask a question, you immediately give me three. So kudos to you because I didn't even have to tell you. That is amazing, Lonzo.
Oh, gosh, whatever. And why has it been so... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're going to say... Were you about to say, don't you even ask me the question, why has it been so long? Is that what you were going to ask me?
It was. Because I know some people have reached out and asked that, like, where's Mona?
Honestly, to tell you the truth, I think it's just life got in the way. I think that... you know, one of the things that I was reflecting on is the last time that we had Bishop on, and he was mm-hmm. prophetically speaking into what you and I were doing. And mm-hmm. he was basically saying that, acknowledging that it was going to be done on a worldwide basis.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the times when you have partners in ministry, mm-hmm. there's a lot, there's one of the things that we battle as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ is distractions. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was writing a letter, and I don't, please forgive me, Lord, I don't remember exactly which group of people he was writing it to. It could have been the church in Corinth. It could have been the Galatians. I don't know. But he was basically stating that he was trying to get to his people, but he was hindered. And one of
Proverbs 21:5 tells us, if you plan and work hard, you will have plenty. Yet for many, money feels stressful and overwhelming. If you're tired of worrying about bills and debt, there's a better way. Kira Speed, a financial coach, helps individuals and families walk in wisdom and peace with their money. And she can help you build a plan that aligns with your spiritual values and also helps you feel empowered with your money so that you can save, pay down debt, and build wealth for you and your family. Interested in learning more? Visit moneyempowered.com to schedule your free 60-minute consultation.
From doing the work of the Lord. And one of the things that we have to really make sure that we're doing is we have to make sure that we are in the perfect will of God. Because doing good things does not guarantee you to be, it does not guarantee everlasting life. I was reading in Matthew, we're in our ministry, we're dissecting Matthew, and I believe it's in Matthew 7, I want to say. But God, through Jesus Christ, is basically saying that those who inherit heaven, inherit the kingdom of heaven, are specifically those that do the will of my Father. And so in the will of the Father, there is permissible will, and then there's perfect will. And God, through the Apostle Paul, tells us, and please forgive me again because I don't remember exactly where this is, but God is telling us through the Apostle Paul that all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And so permissible will is when God sees you doing, oh, you're doing good for the community, you're doing this, you're doing that, and you're making an impact, you're leaving your print. But it doesn't mean that you're necessarily doing the will of the Father. And so I know that I've always been the type of person to want to do good. You know, Mimi has always, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, Mimi's my mother. And she always had my brother and I, you know, in community service from a very young age. She was always shipping us off to different countries and across the nation to serve. And so we learned, you know, what community service was very young. From a very young age. So I've always had that heart of a servant. But the times that we're living in now, because we're in the last times or the last days, we've got to make we've got to be certain that whatever it is that we're doing, that it is not the permissible will, but it is God's perfect will for our life. So to answer your question, I will admit and repent and confess that I've been distracted just by my own life and, you know, the things that I think take precedence over what God wants me to do. So that's the only way that I can honestly answer that question. You know, it's just distractions, being distracted and really not taking God's assignments seriously as a leader and as a voice and as a special messenger. You know, that is my confession. You know, so there you have it. So I repent before the Lord, and I just want to, for those of you who have been reaching out and, you know, asking about me, I thank you. I ask that you always continuously keep me in prayer, because we leaders, we really need it. There's a lot of pressure for the ecclesia, which is the remnant or those of us who are called out. There's a lot of things and a lot of division that is amongst the land. And we've got to stand. And what that looks like is that we have got to be uncompromising in how we live our lives behind closed doors, but also when we step up to the plate. And so You know, sometimes we don't want to do that because it's there's a lot of persecution that follows that. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot that blood, sweat, and tears that follows that, you know, but I'm back in action, you know. You don't have to worry about me going too far now because I'm back like Jack.
Hey, and we're glad to have you. Honestly, I wasn't expecting that answer. I thought it was going to be an opportunity for me to take a jab, but I will say, you're oozing with leadership, man, and you're truly divine, man. That was such a classy, transparent, and impactful answer. And I, how do I put it? I don't want to take away from what you just said because it was just so spot on. But I think the human side of us, we struggle sometimes. And so I guess sometimes maybe it was permissible and not necessarily in his will or his direction, but maybe you didn't know that. I don't know about your intimate meditation and prayers and discussions and conversations with God, but sometimes we can go on a path that we do believe is a path that God has laid out for us, and then we find out. So it's not an intentional distraction, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, nevertheless, man, thank you for sharing that with our listeners. We always have food for thought out when you're on, so we miss you. Why are you? Tell you, boy.
You know, this really is it's an honor, honestly, to be linked up with a man of your caliber and a leader in by birth, really, you know, just in the little short time that I've known you, you know, when you're spiritually connected with someone, God gives you insight into the heart of that person. And so although it hasn't been years and years and years, we definitely have an undeniable connection that I believe is for a lifetime. And that's not something that you want to take lightly. And it's not something that you want to foster relationships like that. Just like how Bishop said to us that the currency of the kingdom is relationships. It's true. And one of the things that I've really been reflecting on is where I stand in all my kingdom relationships. And about 2 days ago, the Holy Spirit really impressed on my heart the offense that I've caused a lot of people unknowingly. And sometimes, and I pray in the name of Jesus that our listeners hear my heart and that there's a Holy Ghost conviction that follows what I'm saying. Because the Bible says that a brother offended is harder to win than a city with walls. And sometimes we're unnecessarily hurting God's people and we don't have that right. And for whatever the reason is, maybe we're hurt or we're tired of people or we're at a low place or we're just frivolous in the heart of Christ. If you are really a Bible believing Christian, there's no way that you can't read the gospel and not see the heart of God and not have compassion. And so God has been having me to reach out to people and to apologize and ask them if I've offended them, if they would forgive me. Not to say sorry, because I'm not sorry, but I ask for forgiveness because, you know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 that you know, if we don't forgive others that come against us, our Father in heaven will not forgive us. And sometimes we do not see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we don't see that it is us we're the issue, we're the problem. And we don't have the right to hurt God's people because God's people have been so hurt, especially by the church. This is why so many people are in Satanism, and, you know, they want to be witches and pimps and hoes and warlocks, and, you know, they want to be rebellious because people that were leaders and that were supposed to love them and teach them the right way have perverted the gospel. And, you know, so me personally, Jesus is coming back, and it is my personal duty to prepare people for his second coming, which means that there is a depth of breaking that has to continuously be, it has to continuously happen in my life. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. And I know that perfection does not exist. But I want to be at best for God. And when Jesus Christ, and please hear me by the Spirit of the living God, many of us will be turned away. The Bible says in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 7, have we casted out demons in your name? And have we preached the gospel in your name? But God is still going to say, depart from me, you evil, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And so what that means is that a lot of the times what we do is permissible. We're doing what we think is good. We're doing what we think is right. But the Bible tells us that a man, that is what I believe it's Proverbs 17, a man, it's either 17 or 18, somewhere in there. Please search and find it. A man that is right in his own eyes, it is, it's evil in the sight of the Lord. It's wicked when we are not aligned properly and 150% with the Lord. If we're supposed to look like the image of Christ and Christ is returning for his bride, that means many of us have work to do, because we do, we are not in a mirror image of what Christ is supposed to look like. We're not. And so we have to be accountable, but it starts with our own action. It starts with us accepting the fact that, yes, God needs to continuously break us. There has to be breaking each and every day so that we can look more and more like Jesus. So that's just where I am, brother. You know, I'm sorry I can't give you the jab 1-2. I mean, in all sincerity, I wanted to get on and just light you up. But once you go into the presence of the Most High God, it changes. you know, I live to jab you up. Like, that's, I get so much pleasure from just reaming you from right to left. But, you know, listen, no, like, I'm being a what? A bigot? Oh, I thought you said obedient. A bigot. I was like, a bigot. I'm like, no, okay, let's go into that. Okay. I'm open right
that's
now.
That's the mumble. That's the mumble me, but I'm just.
Oh, that's so, your jargon, like modern? Is that your down south? Okay.
It is.
You said, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know yesterday, said modern. Smooth. No, you smooth said it. You smooth said it. Don't play with me. Don't play with me.
No, but see, I was giving, we're having an emotional moment here. Now you done took it back to the.
I'm trying to give you what you want. I can't, there's no pleasing you. You want me to jab you, and then you want me, now we're emotional. Then you're like, I can't, how can I please Belonzo? Ladies and gentlemen, can you please write in how you think I'm supposed to please this man? Because I don't know what he wants from me. I'm doing the best I can.
I'm trying to match energy with energy. When you came out and just that was really heart touching what you said. And I'm like, let me give her some words of encouragement when you were talking about like offending people. And I was like, really just ready to say, like, you know, your heart was in the right place. We all said things that we didn't mean, what they came out different than what our intentions were, and, you know, just trying to say all these words of encouragement, but then you start taking jabs. But the heart condition is what it boils down to, and your heart's always in the right place. I enjoy, like, even when you and I will talk and have a spiritual / philosophical discussion, and we can not always be in total agreement, and we just have mad respect for each other. And I just love the fact that you're so obedient, because you listened and it came upon you that, you know, maybe you offended those, and kudos to you for reaching out to those. And a similar story, and there was someone that, how do I put it? We were in disagreement. I don't think I offended that person, but they reached out to me and Whitney was around. Actually, I will give Whitney, she said some words of encouragement and reminded me. I wasn't going to be close to that person, but I had to check my attitude about that person. It was like, I was expecting something that wasn't as pleasant as I got from them. And that just, it reminds me that God can, when you allow God in your heart, I don't care who you are and what you've done, you're brand new. You're an entirely different person if you let God in. So, but kind of similar journey, but I just appreciate you opening the door on that.
Amen. As you were talking, I heard the Spirit of the Living God say that there are three people in just this week alone that you've offended. A lot of the times, a lot of the times it's people that are closest to us, because this is the thing with, sometimes we're so close to people that we get familiar, and we can get so familiar with a person that we forget about who they are in Christ Jesus. And it's a disservice when we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord, but, you know, and I know we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, but we're somebody to God. And so what you're saying, as you were talking and the Holy Spirit was confirming what he was saying, the confirmation, sometimes we offend people. See, Alonso, you're a very strong man. You're a strong man and you're strong willed. Even in the way you walk, I was commenting earlier today that I love to watch you walk, because your walk exudes a depth of strength that the average Black American, male, oldest sibling, man of God, family man, leader does not have. And I know that you like to take the humble approach to everything, which you should. But sometimes in our humility, when we don't fully embrace who we are in Christ Jesus, our humility comes off false. And so, you know, you're sometimes people are going to respect you anyway. I mean, I saw it the other day, you know, that's why I love being around you, and, you know, personally, because I get to really see what I know in the spirit. I get to, in which only is grace to me by God. I get to have the physical witness of that, where people are, you know. But, you know, there are a lot of people that are jealous of you and they want to admire you, but they're jealous of you just because how you walk into a room. You walk into a room, you open the door, and the atmosphere changes and it shifts. And that is because of who you are in Christ Jesus. And as a leader, it's really always our fault, even when it's not our fault, because God holds us to a higher standard. And, so going back and apologizing and saying sorry, even when we know it's not our fault, it's sometimes a sticky situation, like we say in the North. It's a sticky situation because you know, because we listen, it wasn't right for Christ to be crucified in the manner that he was crucified when he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. As children of the Most High God, you know, I'm catching a lot of heat right now because of the things that I post on my medias. And I'm not standing for what Christ believes in. But even in that, a lot of people get offended. And it is not, I don't want to offend people unnecessarily, but when you read in Romans, I was reading in Matthew today, and then I was reading in Romans, if we die with Jesus Christ, we're also going to be resurrected with him. But dying in him means that there is suffering that is going to come. And part of suffering is sometimes looking like a fool. And I made it up when I was whoring with the world, and whoring is a very broad term because rebellion is whorish. Lying and stealing and cheating is whorish. Idolatry is whorish. So when I was whoring with the world, I did it very, very, I did it out in the open, and I loved it, and I made a fool of myself. And so now, if I can't make a fool of myself for God, then I'm not really in this. I'm not in this. So going back to you, I pray in the name of Jesus that Holy Spirit opens up your eyes, because it could be something so simple like someone saying hi to you and you passing them and you can't hear them because you're so into your thought process of where you're going next. But someone says, hey, good morning. And every morning they're looking forward to you saying, hey, God bless you, my sister, or God bless you, brother. But this morning you don't see them. It doesn't change the fact that you offended them. And now that offense is stuck in their heart. It doesn't change that fact. And sometimes, you know, like I said, it could be the people that are closest to us, because sometimes we get so familiar with people that we forget that God has given everyone something special, just like he's given to you and me. So
I love those it. No, you are so let me do this. I gotta go to this commercial.
Can you just let me do the commercial?
This is already a pre-recorded commercial. But I will have you back because you have the voice for it. But
no commercial is better than mine. whatever commercial you're gonna put. See, whatever commercial you're putting up now you just watered it down because you could have let me just rock out. But you want to pre-record everything. You need repentance.
There's a thing about order, man. But no, seriously though. But when we come back, so I have Oya on. She's a musical artist, producer, motivational speaker, corporate trainer, storyteller, powerhouse. I mean, everything. I can't wait for our listeners to hear that interview. But we're going to go to her after the commercial. But you and I are going to continue this combo because this is super important. No, seriously.
There's nothing else that I need to say.
Oh, really? It's like that now?
I'm done here. Wrap this party up.
I doubt it. But can I just say
something about that name, though? I noticed that you always have the guests with the bomb names. You said her name is Oya?
Yes.
That's beautiful. I want to know what her name means.
See? Okay. I'll have to ask her that. Straight out of L.A., man. She's the bomb.
She sounds dope. That name sounds dope. I know she's dope.
Yeah. But you're dope too, man. why is it always laughter, man?
You make me happy. You bring me joy. What do you want from me?
No, you drop some nuggets, man.
Hey, family, I got something special to share with you. Augusta, Georgia, get ready. Love is a Parable is coming your way. That's right. J. Dwayne Garnett, founder and CEO of Love is a Parable, is bringing his message of love, purpose, and connection back home to the Augusta area for two amazing events you don't want to miss. First, Friday, October 18th at 11 a.m., meet J. Dwayne Garnett in person at the Augusta Richmond Public Library, 823 Telfair Street, Augusta. Come out, hear his story, and be inspired as he shares how love truly changes lives. Then on Saturday, October 19th at 10:30 a.m., catch him as the guest speaker at Spring Grove Missionary Baptist Church, 5600 Clarks Hill Road in Appling, Georgia. It's going to be an uplifting experience filled with encouragement, truth, love, and action.
J. Dwayne Garnett is an Augusta native, a Georgia P. Butler graduate, and one of the founding members of Creative Impressions. He's proof that when love leaves, everything changes. So spread the word, tell a friend, and make plans to attend. You can learn more at loveisaparable.com. That's loveisaparable.com. Don't miss this chance to connect, grow, and be reminded that love is a parable.
Beautiful people, we are back, and today's guest is someone who doesn't just sing. She commands every note, every lyric, every emotion, and she turns it into pure magic. She's been captivating hearts since she first stepped onto the stage, blending raw talent with a voice that's impossible to forget. And from her early days singing in church to creating music that moves millions, she's an author, producer, motivational speaker, corporate trainer, storyteller, a powerhouse, and an artist who refuses to be put in a box. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to the incredibly talented Oya. Oya, how are you, my sister?
Ah, peace and blessings. How are you? I am well. What an intro.
Very deserving, my sister. Very deserving. I'm just so honored to have you on. And I want to say this. I'm excited to speak with you because there are so many layers here, and not just within the music, because you approach this and with through different genres. But I mean, it's just so many other things you're doing. So I'm excited. I'm really happy to have you.
Thank you. Well, I'm happy to be here. You know, we've had an opportunity to chat a couple of times, and I'm interested. We've had some really wonderful conversations, so I know this is going to be amazing.
Yes, indeed. And like you said, long time coming, man. We've been talking for a while now, so this is great.
Well, God is good. The schedule has been very, not just busy, but really productive, right? So, here we are finally.
Amen. Great problem to have, because that means you're in high demand, and I love your work, everything you're doing. So yes, praise God.
Thank you.
And yes. And so I'll dive right in. So when you were growing up, what was your earliest memory of singing or making music? Because I read that your musical journey began at like the age of three, singing in church with your father.
That's right. So you're just going to get me emotional right from the beginning of the interview, huh?
We got to start off strong, sister.
Well, you got me. That is one of my greatest and first memories as a little girl standing next to my father, looking to this most amazing man sing with just the power of a vocalist that, you know, was anointed by God before I even knew how to put that into words.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to let my light shine next to him. And it was so funny because I would belt it out. I was just so happy to sing with my father that they would move the microphone away. You know, because my little self could just belt out so strong I was so serious about it. And then, of course, growing up singing in the choir, and my brother, he just was a wonderful songwriter and music creator. So I always looked up to him, and I would want to emulate that, want to write songs and things like that too. And yeah. You know, I was writing poems, you know, very early on, and creating them and putting them into music and songs. And my mom would sing, you know, spirituals, you know, hymns, gospel music, washing dishes. So it was just, I was surrounded by that. And then we took that to church. And then in preschool, I started to learn about other, you know, artists, and Willie Nelson, that was a favorite that some people was like, what, you know, but yeah. I grown up with my two little pigtails. I saw this guy thanks to my preschool teacher. She had me sing "Mama Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys" for graduation. And so between all the hymns and the gospel meets country, and then R&B, soul, funk, rock, everything. Wow. Oh man, my life was just immersed in music everywhere.
I absolutely love that. And it is funny because you and I have had previous conversations, and I know one thing that I've heard consistently from you was purpose. And it seems like this is definitely the start of you stepping into your purpose. So,
absolutely. So just in those two things you made me see again, you know, the vision of me next to my father, even when I wasn't singing with my father, when I would be in the pew and I would watch him sing. One of the things that I saw was my father made people feel. He made them feel something. Now, I couldn't tell you what those feelings were because I was a little girl, but I knew it was something special, something unique, something I couldn't put it into words, right?
Yeah.
But I knew it was like something different than what I saw out on the street or a regular day or at school. They were raising their hands and they were in tears, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I fast forward and I think about preschool and singing that silly song, I noticed people were laughing and they were filled with joy. And there was something that was connecting again that I didn't understand because I was so little, but it was connection. Like, and people would be happy. And I started to notice that music had so much power that, like, no matter what happened before somebody came to church or whatever happened before they came to that graduation, someone could be sick at home. They could be sick. There could be all kinds of turmoil that they just read about or saw on the news. And yet in that moment, they experienced joy. In that moment, they experienced love. They connected. And that's what had me fascinated at an early age, that there was this power in music that could stop you in your tracks from whatever you had going on to be present right here and now and experience peace, love, joy. Like that had me fascinated.
Yeah, man. I love that story and the impact of it. And you and I talked about it. You can talk about civil rights movement being, you know, impacted by music. And when you talk about integration and the way we were looked and viewed. So just so many takeaways from that. And I know in your bio, your bio calls you a soul-centered strategist. I love that. An activist, educator, producer, and author. So how does all those roles feed into one another?
Well, ultimately, like when I hear the word activist and you just use that word after you were just speaking about the civil rights, my position, the first thing that you said when you just said that, the first thing that came to my mind, I was just thinking about how, like, I'm an activist for life. Recognizing that we are so blessed to be alive. Yeah. And life is really a gift from God. And life be lifing, as they say, you know? You can get so distracted.
Yes.
And yet, life is, in the midst of all of the chaos, is so beautiful. And we often forget that. So I know that I was born to remind people about this gift of life and for them to shine like the star that they were born to be. God makes no mistakes. You are alive for a reason. You are here to shine, you know, to cultivate great things, to be positive and to shine that light on others and to let them know that they are a gift. And sometimes people can be deactivated. Sometimes people can be disconnected. And so if they can reconnect to that, that knowing and know who they are. And as, and you know, and you we've talked a little bit, but it's not just knowing who you are, but knowing who you are in Christ. Like, imagine that, like really knowing that you are so special and knowing that, like, no matter what's going on, that you are really that special, that you are here, you are alive and born for a reason.
Amen.
That's so important to me. So no matter what vehicle that I utilize to do that, I'm here for it. I'm here to do that, to help people remember that they're a star, to shine like the star you are. Don't dim your light.
That is beautiful. And I will tell you, just, you made me think of something. I like your choice of words. You talked about distractions, and everything going on in the world right now can be somewhat, well, it is somewhat chaotic, but like for the past 3 or 4 weeks now, I made a decision, a conscious decision, to like disconnect. And I just been focusing on literature and music, and that for the most part, you know. And so
that's interesting. You use the word disconnect.
Yes.
From, you're talking about worldly things like maybe social media and the news and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about being disconnected, like from, you know, your soul-centered purpose, you know, your spirit, the Holy Spirit,
gotcha,
you know, like, you feel me? So, like, I feel what you're saying. It's like you have to disconnect from that to connect.
Yeah, I like you know? That, yeah.
Yeah, because of the distractions, right? So you get rid of those things so that you can focus, so you can be connected. And that's where the good stuff starts happening, because you can hear, you can see clearly when you get rid of the distractions. And there's the distractions, boy, we can,
man,
that is on so many different levels.
Amen.
You know what, if we really talk about all the different distractions, you could really be cutting some things off and loose.
Yes, you'd be off the grid. But you said that, and then I immediately went to Jesus, and Jesus isolating himself continuously so
Come
he
on.
Could connect to the Father. And so and really feed the Spirit the way the Spirit should be fed. And so in saying that, if someone asks, because I saw this quite often on your pages, on your platform and profile, what if someone were to ask, what is the spirit of Oya? What do you want them to feel or understand or imagine? What do you want them to take away from that?
It's about activating the joy, right? Yeah. So that is the spirit of me and what I know that I'm connected to, right?
Yeah.
So it's me being authentic, who I am, right? And in my purpose, in which I know that I do my best to wake up and shine like the star that I am, that I was born to be, the purpose. What, you know, people talk about their purpose, but it's not like I manifested this on my own. You know, like that yeah. is, you know, I take part and I do my part to assist in making things manifest, right? Because even my subtitle is Manifest Your Dreams, Live Your Life Purpose, because we have to do the work. But God yeah. already put that in me, but I needed to do the work to you know, to do what I'm doing, because we yeah. have a choice, right? To not let our light shine. We have a choice to not be spirited and enjoy this thing called life. You could be disgruntled. You could be upset all the time. We all know there's plenty of things that we could be upset about 24/7, but who are you going to let win? You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look at all the beautiful creatures and plants and the sun, the moon, the stars. I'm going to look at, thank God for my health and what I have, and let myself shine and give thanks that God has put this beautiful light in me that I completely embrace and accept. And without fear, I must shine. No matter what anybody else says, what they think, they like me, they don't, I must do the work based on what God put in me to do.
Amen. I love that. And so I want to go into the music, because you just made me think about your second album, My Father's Star. And mm-hmm. I love that name, by the way. And what a great work it is. But anyway, my Father's Star includes gospel covers like Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and mm-hmm. alongside original ballads. What inspired that mix of faith classics and the new songs?
It's based on what those songs are saying in mm-hmm. that journey of life and being yeah. very real about life.
Yeah.
When I work with people, even though if you go on my social media and you see me bouncing around and I'm being silly and I'm like, peace and blessings, rays of light, how you doing yeah. today? You know, just being silly. the thing that I will not do is mm-hmm. dismiss people's pain yeah. and just be so overly positive and just tell people, oh, it's just be positive. Just everything's okay. Like, don't let them take you down. Just be good. It's not that easy. And I'm very real. And that's why we have really great times in my workshops and when I'm doing coaching and all of the work, because mm-hmm. people feel seen and heard and not just pushed to the side, that this thing called life is not hard sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not what it feels like all the time for certain people during different points and times of their life. So on that project, you have different interludes where people are talking about, at one point they considered suicide.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to end the pain. And there's different songs on that project, and the way that it flows from the beginning of question and the pain to by the time we get to the end, where the song that you said that you've enjoyed so much, Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
Yes.
Because God never leaves us. It is us, the people, the humans, that somehow, after all that he's done, we turn our backs. Mm-hmm. We go out in the world and start getting involved with stuff we ain't got no business getting involved in.
Yeah.
So by the grace of God, you have the opportunity to get through that. And then you learn about that word grace, which is just a profound and powerful word.
Yes, it is.
That's how we get to Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And we end with Look At You Now, like, because we all go through storms, and for you to get through the other side is a huge blessing, because some people don't make it. And that project was just really to, again, you know, really for people to recognize that they're a gift, that they're a blessing, and to bring that awareness to
yes.
suicide, because people don't really think about how many people have thought about it
mm-hmm.
or have attempted it. You know, it's unfortunately more normal than it is, you know, a rarity.
Yes.
And so the project, actually, how I got really pushed into doing it was during COVID. We couldn't perform. We couldn't go out and do things. I wasn't singing and speaking, and I had this opportunity to work on this project, and I had been wanting to do this documentary that was inspired by, unfortunately, one of my most amazing saxophone players that I just adored. He was amazing. He committed suicide. And when you watch the documentary at the end, it, you know, it says in loving memory of him. And my prayer at that time, and still is that the loss of his most talented, amazing, wonderful life, that from that one, I pray so many could be saved by the life ambassadors that are speaking in the documentary Ending the Pain, talking about how they've come through the other side. And here they are living a beautiful life.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know, and I'm going to deviate just a little bit because I wanted to make a point when, you know, you have a great guest on, because you can have like several questions, follow-up questions, things in your head you like, I want to ask her. And you touched on all of them, the things that I really wanted to ask you about this album and the depression and the isolation and just the emotional struggle. And so I wanted to touch on that. You did. And so kudos to you on that. But also I was thinking about this as you were speaking, just like an actor, you can be so deep into that character. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just thinking about this now while you were working on this album and you talk about the emotional journey. What was it taxing on you somewhat creating this album? When you're talking about these hard subjects.
So I was definitely emotional. Mm-hmm. I remember when it was all done, listening to people's stories and how we really protected them.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when people tell their stories, they can be judged. Yeah. And I went to great lengths with the editor, shout out to Jared Bentley. That just was, wow, what a blessing, because there were people that, you know, it's hard to listen to those stories, you know? And, you know, I look at my life and I'm just like, wow, it's so interesting. You don't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
And yet I say that because, you know, my undergrad is in psychology and, you know, my master's and all of the work that I had to do and actually really sitting down with people and doing the work, like going through months listening to people's pain and learning how to be with people without taking that on.
Yeah.
How you pray for people, counsel with people, minister to people, but not come home and bring that to your family, not being stressed out about that, having sleepless nights, yet you're still compassionate, you're still loving. You have to learn how to pour into people, how to be there, present, love on them, help them, give them the tools, right? Mm-hmm. But yet you don't take that on. So that's a whole nother conversation about how you have to take care of yourself. So yes, you're at 100% and you're able to pour from a full cup and not empty. And then, you know, it's just, you have nothing to give in mm-hmm. the midst of all the darkness that you're then going to fight in, because ultimately, I mean, I'm going into those trenches with these people. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be prayed up, right? You know, and mm-hmm. you have to know this is their journey, and you give them the dignity of their process. And, you know, it can really be rewarding when you get people through. And of course, with the help of God, but, you know, just it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so I found myself, because again, we're talking about purpose and you praying about things and you making sure that you're doing what you are to be doing. you find that there's a protection, a grace, a flow when you're working on projects that are meant to be, shall I say.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, everything really was beautiful. And there wasn't like a darkness that I personally had to fight. It was bringing my light to the darkness.
Mm-hmm. That's deep. And so you did talk about your documentary ending the pain.
Mm-hmm.
But around the same time as my father's star. So I just want to make certain that our listeners really connect the dots. The purpose of the album in the documentary and how the two are somewhat parallel, for lack of better words.
Mm-hmm. Or
coincide. Just touch on that a little. I just want to make certain they understand the work that you put into this, because this is, it seems like a daunting task just hearing and knowing what you did during that time period.
Yeah, and I think that it's a little challenging for people when they hear songs. How can I say, like, they're isolated, right? Like, if you just hear the song Jesse that I covered by Roberta Flack, or I covered I Can't Make You Love Me, one of my most favorite, just beautiful songs by Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
If you just heard that song, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's wow, that's beautiful. You know, yeah. People have listened to it and they just hear the musicianship. They hear the quality of the record and the value that it brings, and
mm-hmm.
yet they don't understand the full picture. You know, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. You mentioned you heard that on there. Well, yeah. That's a beautiful gospel record. That's a wonderful, you know,
yeah.
another rendition of that. But yet you don't understand the flow of it from beginning to end, because sometimes you go on Spotify, you hear that one song. You know what I mean?
But yeah.
if you listen to it the way that it was intended from beginning to end, it tells a story.
Yes.
And you understand, especially in that middle section where there's a song called I Am, where that's where that character, right, the person that I'm singing, this is me, and I'm sharing what people go through.
Yes.
The voices, the different things that you hear, you know, this is real, and I don't think we talk enough about it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just so here for it. It excites me so much. I don't know if you could tell in my voice how passionate I am. About really shedding light to real talk.
Yeah. Stuff
nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to talk about the voices in their head. Nobody wants to talk about the enemy, the spiritual warfare, you know, like that. Just in general. Like, of course, people talk about that in church and stuff. But I'm just saying, just regular, everyday. So when I'm at a corporation, of course, I'm not talking about spiritual warfare. I'm not talking about God in those sense, because we're in a company, right?
Yeah.
But what I can say is how many people talk to themselves or hear things in their head, right? It's like, mm-hmm. no, this is every single person should be raising their hands, because we all have thoughts about ourselves. And the thing is, unfortunately, many people have a lot of negative thoughts that are just piercing them like spears, that are making them feel less than, bad,
yeah.
horrible. And they make then choices that are not healthy for them a lot of times, because they don't see their value. So it can come from so many different things, from people's past, and they have these the trauma, the different things that have built up over the years. And here we are, a grown 36-year-old woman or a grown 65-year-old man still operating as the person where there was a glitch in their timeline, where they were abused, where they were told something that just affected them in the most negative way. And they took that on for the rest of their life. And they still believe what that parent that was mean to them, or that teacher, or someone did something to them physically, mentally, emotional abuse. Like, it goes so deep, and people just ignore it. And they tell you to get over it. And it doesn't work that way. Like, we have to really talk about healing. We have to really talk about it.
Yeah, man. And to your point, I think with good intentions and just really lack of information, and then let's not even talk about the cultural dynamic, right? Because we have found there's this stigma about, you know, therapy and expressing emotions that can be really a little more concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
For African Americans too. And so it's just really important to everything that you said. It was something else that you said. Oh yeah, I also like what you talked about, this whole piece of work, because I had this conversation with a friend of mine. We were talking about, because I'm working on my album too, but
okay.
Yeah, but his point was, hey, nowadays, you know, no one does really albums anymore. You do, you know, you're getting hits out there with your songs on, you know, streaming, and you're not really making, you know, dividends off of the album. And, you know, and he made some good points, but when you're really like when you're an artist and you're in that mode and you understand, I love the idea and what you just said too, that album, there's an entire story behind there. There's a whole body of work. And so all the pieces come together. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't have enough of that anymore either. And so that type of artistic expression. So we just need more of that. And you've done it all, my sister. I just love, I love the energy. I love all the works that you've done. And even like you shared the stage with David Foster, Brian McKnight, Eric Benet. What lessons or insights from those experiences have influenced how you perform and lead in your career?
You know, I'm going to tell you something that Quincy Jones told me, and it was just, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a reminder that whatever it is that you are blessed to do, you need to nurture that and learn everything about.
Cabbage and collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes. $25 bags stuffed full of grub. These are the things at the Black Farmers Hub. Ooh, ooh. Onions and radishes, turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too. From herbs to hoop cheese and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmer's Hub.
Is that you do. Yeah. And when I looked at him, and then when I thought about, because as he's talking and I'm just thinking, and you know, we've met on a couple other occasions, you know, after that. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for that, you know, before his passing, it would, you know, be at events and things, and just had a great opportunity to really talk with him, you know.
Yeah.
And just so fascinating, because I'm like, golly, this man knew everybody, you know, and his experiences. So to be able to just sit there and hold his hand and talk to him about the thing, or one of the things that he loved the most, music, that we knew him for anyway, right?
Uh-huh.
And I say all that to say, because, you know, you talk about somebody like a David Foster, that's like, you know, they called, you know, a living legend as well. You know, when Quincy, he was a living legend when he was alive, and someone that makes all these hits, when you really, you watch them and how effortless they are, you know, as you know, they've come to their age, and, you know, we miss Quincy now, but you just think about all the work that they did from teenager to 20s, 30s, 40s. So just really all these people that I just like, wow, you're really special. You're amazing. I study these people. Now I go to concerts in a different way. Like I went to the Queen's concert with Gladys Knight and, you know, Chaka Khan and Stephanie Mills and Patti LaBelle. I don't go to concerts like regular people where I just go and I'm just like, yay, woohoo. Like, I'm like, these are living legends, you know? So when you name people like that I have shared the stage with, it's a blessing. It's wonderful. I really just watch them to see, you know, what is it they're doing? What can I pick up? What can I absorb from them that allowed them to continue their success after so many years? Yeah. You know, because we know so many people that come and go, but then there's people that really stay.
Yeah.
They stay. And yeah, just, I think what's most important to me are people that are kind.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I remember Gladys Knight when I met her, she was so just supportive of a young artist, you know, like it's like, this is you about to perform, or I think she'd already performed, but it's just spending time with people and knowing that they're kind, but they're about their business. You know what I mean? Like that's I think that's one of the things trying to figure out everything out as I think about all the different people. But I think kind of talking out loud about it to you now, I think that's it. It's about people being about their business and being kind, but being really stern and serious about what they do.
I love it. And Gladys is a true, wow, don't even give me the GOAT, in my opinion. But yeah.
It was just how nice she was.
Yeah.
She was so kind because everybody, you know, people that are at that level, nobody has to be anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for her to take the time to just be nice and take the time to, like, hey, okay, so I heard that you're an artist and she didn't know anything about me. It's like, to hear that from someone and then take the time to learn more about me, like, okay, well, let me go ahead and keep doing your thing. You know, I want to see what you're doing. Like, that's nice. That's kind. That's given, and this was many years ago. I've only met her once, but it's just one of those things where it does something to an artist, a young artist, or just anybody. I say be kind to everybody because you never know what that does to them, how that encourages them, you know, to live another day, write another day, produce another day, whatever.
Amen to that. And I like you mentioned some really heavy people in the music industry. And I was when I was doing my research and looking at your catalog, and I came across it was a tribute to Willie Nelson with your name attached, and I was like, someone else is using Oya's name, and it turns out it was you. So
turns out,
yeah, turns out. So tell me about the tribute to Willie Nelson and the Thank You for the Memories album.
Yeah. So as I mentioned very, very early on in the interview, when we first started, you know, preschool, it was Miss Hall, my preschool teacher, that introduced me to Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought that was a hilarious song and it was cool. And because of, I guess, who I've always been, I took a deep dive into Willie Nelson outside of just singing that song and being done after my preschool graduation.
Yeah.
So when I found this man, Willie Nelson, that had two pigtails just like me, you know, he wore the two braids. And what was fascinating about him to me, because you follow this, right? Track with me here. Yeah. You got my father singing, belting out like Sam Cooke, and we're around music by the likes of Mahalia Jackson, Aretha Franklin, you know what I mean? So that's a different sound, a different belt, a different power. And yet I was mesmerized and captivated by the truth, the authenticity, the rawness of Willie Nelson's expression. And what was really cool about that was that taught me how fabulous you can be in your own skin. You know, everybody doesn't have to, you know, belt out and just, you know, Lord, I know I've been changed. Everybody doesn't have to do that. That's their thing. You know, for him, you know, he's, you know, singing, mamas, don't let your babies, you know, smooth and it's raw and it's, and I was like, this is so cool. Like, you can be who you are and how you sound and express yourself and his stories, his writing, like crazy. Like, that's Patsy Cline. That was a hit record for her. Willie Nelson wrote that. So it started to make me learn more about like writing and telling stories and just almost even just speaking the story, you know, that was so cool for me. And I just had so much love for this man, obviously so much that I did this tribute to him, because there was like this catapult of energy as a child and what he poured into me from a distance. And this is why I tell people all the time. Now, this is me as a child. Willie Nelson didn't know me from Timbuktu. So we have to be careful what we're putting out in the world, because here's this little girl in Inglewood. You feel me? Listening to him, and he's doing something positive for me. And as artists or anyone that speaks anything out loud or writes or shares anything, you know, people say they don't want to be role models and all that. They just want to do them and express themselves. But I appreciate people that do take responsibility for what they're sharing.
Absolutely.
And you know, because it will find its way to the ears of a little girl in Inglewood. You know, or some other parish or some other town or city. And what did you do for that person? How did you help somebody? See, you may never know what you've done for someone. And if you're putting out good, my mom always says, just be found doing good. And if it's like, if you're always putting that out, then it's like, wow, you it could be somebody on the corner, a smile at a grocery store. Like, you're pouring into people, sharing something positive, not cursing somebody, saying negative things. And that goes for yourself too, how you talk to yourself, you know. But yeah, so that's what happened. And I found I had so much love for him, and I had to do this, and I did that. That project was kind of starting to come out of COVID, you know. Did that project, and it's just such a great project, you know, honoring the works that he's done, you know.
Man, you've done it all, sister. Now let's talk about you as an author. You speak about soul work, mind, body, spirit, emotions, environment. Being essential pillars. So which of those 5-star points has been the hardest for you to practice or maintain? And you can even expound on those 5-star points as well, too, so our listeners really understand the fullness of this.
Absolutely. So as you can see, you know, shining like the star you are, in order to do that, that's the foundation, having those 5-star points: mind, body, spirit, emotions, environment, really being in alignment, being aware of where you're at with all those, and if you're shining in all those areas. And you said this interesting question, what's the hardest one? I would say they're all so important. It's like you can't have one without the other. You know, it's like you can't have the spiritual aspect of it. Like, say you go to church every Sunday, but then come the end of service or Monday, you're gossiping about others, or you saying negative things to yourself, or you physically go work out, but you're being mean to yourself, or putting yourself in bad situations emotionally, being abused. And when I say that, not so much about others, this is about how we treat ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even with that, the decisions that we make sometimes, there's people that are victims of situations growing up, and then there's people that put themselves in situations even to this day that you know are not healthy for you. And so we have to be aware of that. That could be around food, you know, that could be around the people that we're around. If we know that we're giving up alcohol, but we still want to hang out with people that are going out and having, you know, several drinks, or, you know, they have, you know, issues with alcohol or drugs. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
All of, like, you can, I'm doing one thing great. I'm working out every day, but I have all these stressors, and I have so much hate in my heart, or, you know, so the mind.
Yeah.
That is a very powerful thing, because the mind in and of itself can paralyze the body. The spirit can want to thrive and shine like the star that it knows it's in there. It was born in this temple, this shell of a body. And yet the mind can paralyze your beautiful being from even getting out of the bed to even do anything, because you're depressed. You don't like yourself. You don't like the world. You start telling yourself all of these different things, and you can't make it to where you want to go, or you say you want to go. So that mind in and of itself, you gotta exercise that mind to make sure that it's strong. And here's the thing: within the mind, we have to watch what we're consuming. It's not just about when we get to the point with the body where what you're eating and we're exercising and taking care of the temple that can actually allow you to manifest your dreams and live your life's purpose, because we need our body to actually physically do things, right?
Yeah.
But it's also about what we're consuming in our ears, what we're consuming in our eyes,
yeah.
You know, the gateways to what can change your whole belief system about who you are and people in the world. So that is very powerful, and you need to really protect that. You know, I've already shared a bit about the body, because obviously this is our temple and how we create what we do, right? So are you taking care of your body? You know, it's like one of the things that's so simple. Like I said, Quincy's like, hey, know everything about your craft. So you can get in there. So I can get in there and I can produce. I could talk to the musicians. I know how, you know, all right. Do we know enough about our bodies?
Yeah.
Most people don't. Most people don't know, vitamin A from C to D, and where you even get that from, or what our bodies actually even need. Not drinking enough water, not mobilizing, not stretching, not exercising, just plain out not taking care of your body, not getting enough sleep. I get most people with that one.
I'm just getting ready to say that I'm raising my hand now.
Right. You know, and in the spiritual time, like you were talking about, disconnecting from the world, having time to get in your word, having time to just really, like when I was talking about getting rid of the distractions, you know, just listening, quiet, being in quiet space. So many people want to have noise all the time.
Yes.
So beautiful. Just like you said, disconnecting from all that noise and listening to the birds and hearing the flutters. You know, I'm being very descriptive now, because this is something I love, hearing the wings of when my little dove friends come and visit, and I can hear them flying in and out. I love that sound, you know, the buzz of the hummingbirds, like all of that. You know, it's something very special about silence, and then getting to hear all of those things that most people are just in a rapid race, just I gotta go, I gotta get out of here. And then you're not even present. Like, I'm sorry, what are you doing with your life? You're just racing all the time that you're not even enjoying life at all.
Yeah.
And we've all been guilty of it. I know I have. I have got so caught up in work and this and that, and then I'm like, wait, how did this year disappear? And did I spend enough time with my family? You know, those are things that are very serious. The spiritual connection, mind, body, spirit, you know, emotions, really listening, you know, to yourself, really hearing, wait a minute, I'm sad, and not dismissing that, and really having a conversation with that sadness, that depression. And if you can't do it on your own, getting a coach, a therapist, someone that you can trust and work with, a pastor, you know, if he's skilled in that area, to say, this is what the voice of this pain is saying, instead of dismissing the tears, the cries out, and masking it, in trying to end that with drinking or anything else. What is it saying so that you can actually heal, so you can grow, you know, and your environment, the environment is not just where you live, but you residing in this environment, the temple that you live in, right? But yeah, your home, your neighborhood. And like I said earlier, you know, the environments that you're putting yourself in, are you putting yourself in healthy, productive, prosperous environments? Are you putting yourself in places that aren't good for you, that could even cost you your life? I was speaking at a school some years back, and I'll never forget, someone from administration said, this is so important that you're here, because we just lost a student that was killed. And he was a great student, and yet he kept the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
And he still wanted to be down. He still wanted to be cool. And he thought, even though, you know, he was this, you know, great A student, you know, that he would be respected, you know, everybody would still be cool with him, you know, and that cost him his life. So what are you doing that might be costing your life? It may not be an extreme, like, you know, getting shot in a neighborhood somewhere, but what are you doing where it's just costing your life, a depreciation every day because of something you're doing or not doing? So, yeah. I mean, I could, you know, I have a whole workshop and masterclass, and we go 4 hours, you know, it's just that alone, that talk is, you know, a good hour and a half. And like I said, the masterclass, going deep with people, because it's so much that we honestly just don't take the time to sit down and think about, because we're so busy that we don't even think about any of those points in our life. And that was like the short version.
Man, I tell you, but you really sparked thought in that question. I love how you asked that, because it's a call to action, and really a self-assessment. That's what you're at on calling for. But you talked about the master classes. We talked about you as an author, singer. You actually just talked about, educational outreach and community program. So which project or program has felt the most mission aligned, and why?
All of them are, really. I knew you were gonna say that. Yeah, you know, it's really cool that I have different vehicles that basically take me to the same home, right? To the same mission and purpose. Honestly, if I'm singing or if I'm speaking, I'm still talking about the same thing, right? If I'm producing a project, it's still, there's a mission behind it. There's something that I have to see that's showcasing something within my mission and my purpose, right? And it's different mediums. You know, might be different genre, might be, like I said, me singing or speaking or producing, but it's still my voice, my shine, to basically showcase, you know, that purpose.
Man, love it. Hey, so this is what I do on anytime I have guests on, I want to make certain we capture everything we need to capture. I want to give you the floor so you can talk about any upcoming events, projects, how to get in touch with you, get in contact with you. You're West Coast. You're Beverly Hills, or
When people ask me that's where the office is, and that's where I'm like based in. But we're all over the place.
Yes, indeed.
So, yeah,
you are. Wherever, because I know you even talked about over here on the East Coast.
We're bi-coastal. We split our time.
Yeah,
on the East Coast and the West Coast, like pretty much half and half throughout the year.
I love it. So I'm throwing it. The floor is yours. Whatever you want to say, your final thoughts, final words, it's on you, Oya.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And I just pray abundance and blessings for all of your listeners, and that they really connect to who they really are. We forget it sometimes. Maybe we don't even know it. I don't know if there's somebody listening right now that just might even just be questioning their existence. Like, nobody's going to miss me. Nobody cares. And I can't get it together. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And if you are alive and you're listening to this right now, you are here for a purpose. God makes no mistakes. And I know this is the opportunity for me to like talk about like my products and where you can find me and everything. That's just what's so present for me right now. I pray that there's somebody listening to your podcast that finds themselves back in the Word, or if they never picked up a Bible, that they do that, that they look themselves in their eyes and recognize that they're not a mistake. I don't know who's listening right now, but you're not a mistake. You are love. You are a blessing. You are a gift. And I know it's hard sometimes. I know it's hard. It might be something that you did that you just can't seem to get past, but you too can really do the work to let go of the judgments, the guilt, the shame, who you were in the past and who you are becoming. You can. And I just encourage you to get the help that you need. I know that sometimes, just like we were just talking about, it can feel scary. Or maybe we grew up in a household where the idea of coaching or therapy, like, you don't tell anybody your business. I know. I went to school where there wasn't people that had a skin tone that looked like me.
Yeah. Okay?
Out of all of the students. So I get it. That's not... it's not something that we have a lot of. So that's why I wanted to really take the time to share that, you know. And it's present for me also to say that the first coach or the therapist may not be for you. So don't try it once and think, oh, that didn't work for me. They're no good. No, that's plural. So if you tried one person, sometimes you have to, you know, kind of just like dating, you got to find the right one, you know?
Yes.
So I just wanted to share that first, because I just want to encourage somebody today that's listening to this to get the help that they need, because help is here for you. And if you want to, you know, learn more about me and come to one of my master classes and learn more about the 5-star points for success and how to really live your dream, your purpose, let go of the judgments and, you know, the darkness, and really shine your light and live in the light, find that joy, that peace, you know, and live the prosperous life that you deserve. Please definitely find me. It's easy to find me, spiritofoya.com. That's OYA.com, spiritofoya.com. And there you can find all my social media. Everything is Spirit of Oya. So if you go on Instagram, Facebook, I'm usually more on Instagram. YouTube is Spirit of Oya. What else? The masterclasses and all that stuff, you can always reach out on any of the platforms to learn more and say, hey, I'm interested. And we can definitely send you information on the next masterclass, which is also for all my international and different people in different states. It is online. I do some in-person events, which if hopefully I can see you there. But the online is amazing, and you can tune in from any place. So, yeah, other than that, the 5-Star Points for Success book, the workbook is available everywhere where you can buy books, especially on Amazon. Everything's on Amazon. Yeah. the 5-Star Points for Success is also on Audible. And, you know, of course, all of the music, which you can also find the albums, they're linked on my website, spiritavoya.com, where you can click through. And, you know, you can stream Spirit of Voya, My Father's Star, Thank You for the Memories, and my other singles. And last but not least, just keep on the lookout, because the next masterclass, and I have another book that I'm finishing.
Yes.
And another music project that I'm finishing. And it's a pure gospel project. I always have gospel. I always have inspirational music. Everything's positive, and I always, you know, have some kind of hymn or gospel on every project. But this one, my mom said she loves all my music, but she said it's nothing like when you sing the gospel. It's not, that's all right. So this is actually, she doesn't listen to podcast stuff, but so she won't hear this, but this is a surprise for her. It's dedicated to my father and to my mom, and but especially her, because she's, you know, living. And
It's
going to be a great surprise for her. This is something she's requested, and it's time. And it's not just what she wants, but I definitely got word from the man upstairs. So,
amen.
This project, the way that it's been coming through me and how I've been writing. Oh my gosh! So it's like, wow. I'm just wowed about the music. I cannot wait to share it with you. The spoken word, the music, the everything that's coming through. Wow. I'm like, wow. That's all I can say right now. So I'm really excited to complete that project and let you know when you can let all your listeners know. Yep, it's out. It's out.
Yes. And have you back on.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I love it. I love it. Man, what class, what an honor it has been to have you on. And I love the humility, just everything that about you. You're just such a classy, inspirational, just an incredible child of God. So it's been such a pleasure having you on with us. And, you know, your passion just pours through, like, every word, every note. And so I just say this, my sister, keep shining, keep creating, and keep reminding us what real artistry sounds like, and what it looks like to spotlight those gifts that God has given you. So thank you for blessing us with your presence, my sister.
Thank you. And I just want to remind you and all your listeners to don't let anyone or anything dim your light, including yourself. Now go out and shine like the star you are.
Hey, man, that's one of your phrases too.
I can't leave without saying that. I say that everywhere I go.
Yes.
Before I get off the stage, because that is, it came to me. Wow, that encapsulates all the work that I do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Oya.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless. Peace and blessings.
What if your brand could reach hearts and minds across the globe, from small towns to big cities, from Sunday listeners to weekday grinders? On the Unknown Preacher LA podcast, people tune in from every corner of the earth, drawn by stories that inspire, challenge, and connect us. Now, your business and message can be a part of that connection. Whether you're launching a new product, promoting an event, or expanding your reach, advertising on the Unknown Preacher LA puts your voice where it matters most, right in the ears of a worldwide audience. So don't just reach people, reach purpose. If you're interested, contact us today at theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. The Unknown Preacher LA, where truth meets the mic.
So what I wanted to ask also, if our listeners can support me for my Fab Over 40 competition, because the winner, okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I entered into a Fab Over 40 competition, and the winner is selected by basically our fan clubs. So you all would have, you all would really make me the Fab Over 40 queen. I shouldn't say queen, it's just Fab Over 40 representative. I like that word better. But this is their fifth anniversary, and I have a chance to win $40,000 and to go on a spa-cation for two and to be on the cover of New Beauty Magazine. And so for me, the Unknown Preacher LA has the link. So we have to figure out how to get it to everyone. But I would like for everyone to support me. The voting starts on October the 13th. And I believe that you can vote every day. And one of the things that I want to do with that money is I want to start a 501c3 that is geared for women, to teach women how to live more abundantly by empowering them spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and of course financially. So that $40,000 would start the 501c3 and then to fund some startup projects, because, you know, we ladies, you know, I don't mind being Deborah and leading men. But I believe because I have three daughters, I don't know, but I just feel like I can definitely lead women by example. And so that's really my number one goal. And of course, for my spa-cation, my mother has always been my greatest support. I was married to my children's father for a little under 10 years, but it did not work out. We were young and we didn't have a plan, so it didn't work out. And God and Mimi were really my strength throughout my time of raising my children. And if it was not for her, I would not have been able to do things like go back to school several times and, you know, and just really survive, be able to work without knowing that, you know, without having to worry about my children. So I would like to take her on that spa-cation because she really deserves it. And then not only that, lastly, being on the cover of New Beauty is actually going to open up some doors, not just for me, but for my mother, because she was the first Black Miss Garden State. And I would like to get her back into some modeling. So I really am using this competition to bring her along with me. So I say all that to say that I would appreciate and love your support to be the next Fab Over 40. Woo-hoo.
I love it. I love it. So is there a, like, I know you sent me the link. If you send me do you have a profile on IG? Because if you do that, I can add it
to mine. I sent you the link. No, I sent you the link.
You sent me the link, but, like, if there's, did you post on IG or anything? Well, I'll work it out. I'll figure that part out.
Maybe you can help me because I don't know. Like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I want to post on TikTok and then I want to post on IG. I posted on Facebook, but I need to also do IG and I also need to do TikTok. But I don't. Okay. I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. But I can just let me know what you would like for me to do, and then I'll just send. Like, I don't know, but just let me know what you want me to do.
No, I love it. I got it. I'll post it on mine, and then I'll send it to you. You could either add it to your story or do your own post. But yeah, we'll do that. That's spot on. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Well, Muna, thank you. You were incredible. To our listeners, God bless. Man, we'll see you when we see you.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast
We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.